The Oxford Sparks Podcast, Episode 8, Clues, Part 3.
So my name's Diane Newbury. I'm a genetic researcher at the Wellcome Trust Centre for Human Genetics, which is part of the Nuffield Department of Medicine at the University of Oxford. Our team researched the genetic contributions to childhood speech and language disorders. So the idea is that we're looking for variations in the DNA sequence that might put some children at an increased risk of speech and language disorders. The disorder that we work on is called specific language impairment, and that really means that it's children who have no other developmental broad problems, but they have these very specific issues with learning speech and language, which normally come very naturally to most children. And the reason that we chose to research that in the first place is because we thought this would probably represent a more kind of pure speech and language disorder than other disorders which might have lots of other things going on in them. But actually, within that specific language disorder, that's still quite a mixed bag of children. If you speak to psychologists and speech and language therapists, they'll say, well, one child with SLI, which is specific language impairment, is not necessarily the same as another child with SLI, and they may have different problems with different aspects of language, using language, understanding language. So actually, although it's called one disorder, we think probably there's lots of things going on under the bonnet there, and that's what we'd like to pull apart.
At the clinical level, the term specific language impairment, or SLI, refers to children whose language does not develop normally and where this cannot be explained by slow development, physical abnormalities, autism, brain damage, or hearing loss. This can cover a range of difficulties such as problems with grammatical tense, certain speech sounds, or problems understanding language.
So the way that we first approached it was to find lots of families where there were multiple children affected by specific language impairment. And then we characterised genetic markers, so common genetic variations within those families. And we look for genetic variations that are more common in children who have speech and language problems than those children in those families who don't. So we're really looking at the way that the DNA is inherited from the parents to the children and seeing what do brothers and sisters have in common if they're both affected, or don't have in common if one is affected and the other one isn't. So it's like a big correlation matrix where really we're just looking for relationships between certain variants and the presence or absence of language problems. So we think speech and language disorders in general are caused by what we call a complex genetic mechanism. And by that we mean that there's probably contributions from lots of variations which combine to bring about an overall risk of disorder. The idea is if we could find the genetic variants that contribute to some of these disorders, it might give us a better way to identify and distinguish between affected individuals.
In SLI, there can be added complications. Many different disorders occur, so finding the genetic variants that contribute to each disorder is harder.
So we characterise about a million common genetic variations within the children, and because we have DNA from the parents as well, it allows us to almost rebuild the way that the chromosomes are inherited from the parents to the children. And so we look within one family and we say, okay, so this child has inherited this part of chromosome 6 from the father, whereas this child has inherited a different part of chromosome 6, so they're not sharing that part of chromosome 6, and this one has language impairment and this one doesn't. So that part of chromosome 6 then correlates with the presence of speech and language disorders within that family. But if you do that across all the chromosomes, then about 50% of the genetic material will correlate with the speech and language. So then what we do is we do that in the next family and the next family and the next family, and then we look at things that are in common between the families, and that allows us to break down to certain chromosome segments that seem to be inherited more often than you'd expect by chance between the families. We can also take an association approach, which is looking at common genetic variations and just simply saying which ones are more common in children with language impairment than children without. And that can provide a different kind of weigh-in to find in the genetic variations. And then the other way to do it is just to sequence everybody, and there you have information not only about the common variations but also the rare variations. And that kind of information can be particularly important if we're thinking about these syndromic forms, because that will allow us to identify mutations which are not very common in the general population, but which we know cause learning difficulties or neurodevelopmental disorders. And that will allow us to pick those children out and say, okay, we know what's going on in those, we can put those to one side, and then we can concentrate on the more complex forms. So it's kind of a multi-level approach.
So far, researchers have identified some common variations in the genes CMIP, ATP2C2, and CATNAP2, which seem to correlate to language impairment.
Some of those genes, like CATNAP2, have also been found to be important in other neurodevelopmental disorders. Between those three genes that we've identified, there isn't really a common link or a common theme between them. And we think there's probably a lot more than three risk factors. We're probably like 100 risk factors. So one thing that we'd like to do is to identify more risk factors, which will allow us to be able to pull them together and to look at common functional themes between those genes. And that will probably give us a better idea about what's going on underneath. It will be interesting as we find more to pull the genetic variations apart in that way and say, okay, this is kind of variations upon normal language use, and this is a distinct case of something going wrong.
Diane and her team are also investigating the population of Robinson Crusoe Island, where 30% of the children suffer from some form of SLI. As the population is relatively small and the island has only been inhabited for 5 to 6 generations, the genetic variation across the population is more limited than found elsewhere.
It's interesting to us as geneticists because it means that the amount of genetic variation within that population is reduced, because it just comes from these kind of founder families 5 or 6 generations ago. And some researchers from the University of Chile found that about 30% of the child population on the island have speech and language impairment. By looking within that family, we can use a combination of these linkage and association approaches to try and identify the genetic factors that are inherited within that family that might be underlying the speech and language disorder seen there. My hope for the future would be that the genetics will inform the way that we understand speech and language impairments. We can certainly understand it a lot better than we do at the moment, and to understand the biological processes that contribute to it or are particularly important for it. I don't know whether it would ever allow us to kind of rebuild a language learning machine, but it would certainly allow us to understand what processes are particularly important and the way that we go about learning language.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, narrated by me, Lou Sumner, and produced by Steve Pritchard for the University of Oxford. To find out more about the University of Oxford's fascinating science, follow us on Twitter at Oxford Sparks, via our Facebook page, or visit the website www.oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk.